and Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Protesters and federal agents clashed during immigration sweeps at two Southern California pot farms.
Let me tell you, I'm scared, even though that I'm a citizen and everything, but still, I'm scared, really scared.
President Trump heads to Central Texas today for a firsthand look at the damage from last Friday's deadly flash flooding. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
CBS News has learned that he plans to meet with emergency responders as well as the families of some of the victims. And from there, he will head to his golf club in New Jersey.
A whistleblower is accusing Justice Department officials of retaliation after she was fired Monday. Patty Hartman tells CBS News.
It's hard to understand why or how it's okay to remove people from their job for doing their job.
Hers included distributing press releases about January 6th prosecutions. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRN News, I'm Melissa Kay. A federal judge has temporarily blocked a move to cut Medicaid funding from Planned Parenthood. Shali Pittman reports.
The two-week restraining order issued by a U.S. district judge directs the Department of Health and Human Services to keep that funding in place for now. Planned Parenthood filed the lawsuit after President Trump signed a new federal tax and spending bill last Friday. While that law doesn't name Planned Parenthood directly, the group says a provision in the bill would stop Medicaid reimbursements to any health provider that offers abortions. Here's Michelle Velasquez, Chief Strategy Officer at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin.
The congressional bill that would defund Planned Parenthood would make Planned Parenthood essentially a prohibited entity, meaning it could not seek reimbursement from Medicaid for services like contraception care, gender-affirming care, STI treatment, testing, cancer screening, and the list goes on and on.
Velasquez spoke at a press conference last Wednesday, just hours after the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the state's 1849 abortion ban. For decades, federal funding for abortions themselves have been blocked under the Hyde Amendment. But Planned Parenthood says under the new law, any of its services would be blocked from Medicaid reimbursement. Services like STI testing and treatment or contraception, which together composed about 75% of its services to about 2 million patients last year. The organization says just 4% of its services were abortion related. In Wisconsin, 54% of Planned Parenthood's revenue came from Medicaid, according to its 2022-2023 annual report, which also says it serves roughly 50,000 patients in Wisconsin each year. Nearly half live at or below the poverty line. Planned Parenthood operates 21 clinics across Wisconsin. Three of them in Madison, Milwaukee, and Sheboygan provide abortion services.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's back to work for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee, where the Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Nationals. At 50 wins and 43 losses, the Brewers in second place in the NL Central, just two games behind the first-place Cubs. The Brewers coming off that three-game sweep of the Dodgers. Now, with Freddy Peralta scheduled to pitch this Sunday, closer Trevor McGill will represent the team in the All-Star game next week.
Sweep the Dodgers at home. That's give the fans what they want, right? That was awesome. Glad to be a part of that. And then also with the news as well, like that's just some goal that I put out in the offseason. Here it is coming true.
The Nationals are in last place in the NL East, 16 games behind the Phillies. They fired their manager, Dave Martinez, and GM Mike Rizzo earlier in the week. Miguel Cairo named interim manager. Basketball, NBA Summer League action underway in Nevada. The Bucks with a 90-89 win over the Denver Nuggets last night. Jamari Bouye with a three-pointer at the buzzer. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Our high in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms. We're going to drop into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered thunderstorms in the morning. Some clearing in the afternoon with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. Friday's show is a replay, but I'll be back live Monday with the group On Stage for Cancer performing in studio, and Madison film critic Rob Thomas talks movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, that's me. It's time to say good morning. It's 7:06. It's a Friday morning, July 11th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson standing by in Studio A2, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and just a sec as well with the weekend forecast. Our Week in Review panel will be along shortly. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and veteran journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. A lot to cover throughout the course of the next hour. But here's something else that we can cover during the course of this next hour and the one after that. It's Free Ticket Friday. Yes, it's your chance to win a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets to a specific game. In this case, use that keyword, send it to us through the Civic Media app, text us before the end of the show at 9 a.m. You'll be in the running in this statewide contest for four tickets to Sunday afternoon's game against the Washington Nationals. So if you can go to a Brewer game Sunday afternoon, this is the contest for you. Our keyword for the show this morning for a four-pack of Brewers tickets for Sunday's game is ball, B-A-L-L. One winner will get a four-pack of club-level seats. So get that Civic Media app from your Apple Store, your Google Store, wherever. Find one of the stations on the app and use the text button to send the keyword ball to be entered in. And then listen later in the day to Jane and Greg, Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, and Maggie Dawn for more chances to win on this free Ticket Friday. Let's see. From, we've got Brittany here. Yes, we do. This is from the text line from Jim Brookfield. Always nice to hear Brittany's radio voice providing an accurate statewide forecast. I feel connected to my friends up north. Southeast forecasters usually ignore most of the state and always overemphasize not to change your plans, even when it's pouring. So thank you, Jim, for that. Brittany's going to tell you if it's going to pour, you should change your plans. But yes, only if we're going to get that pour. I had the thing last night with Todd Alba where we did the fair, and we're going to do it again today from 2 to 4.
Cool.
And then the original plan was to take Todd out on the lake, get on the pontoon and go. But, you know, there was the chance of scattered showers everywhere. You know, there'd be a cloud over you. 5 miles over this way, you could see a cloud was raining on somebody. 5 miles over there, the sun is shining. You know? And so we decided to go get some dinner instead. We're sitting outside on a deck, and the sun is out, and it's gorgeous. But you know, you just know that if you try to get on the boat instead, you know,
your luck might change.
Yeah, you just you don't know. So it's not that you cancel your plans. You just need alternative plans, varying plans, contingencies. Yes. So what kind of plans are we making today and tonight?
All right. So if you're down south, those plans are probably going to be to stay inside. Unfortunately, we've got that front that is stalled over northern Illinois right now. The low pressure, little disturbance is still moving in towards the Rockford area. So as this happens, it's going to start to lift this front north into us. So southern Wisconsin is going to see those showers and storms starting to increase, especially by this afternoon. They kind of fire up around 2 to 3 o'clock or so. Now, this is far, far southwest. This is going to ride the state line and in towards Janesville, Madison area, Milwaukee, too. Actually, Janesville and Milwaukee, you're in a slight risk for these storms to be severe. And if they are severe, there are chances for a tornado. There were some yesterday down in Illinois with this rotation, and some strong winds are possible, and also hail, too. So that's the risk from Janesville through Milwaukee this afternoon and evening, and also statewide, still heavy, heavy rain. There's a ton of moisture that these storms can tap into. So even as far north as Park Falls or like Eau Claire, you could still get under a storm tonight, and it could still dump a quick 1 to 3 inches of rainfall. This is a heavy, heavy rain. Getting it in an hour, an inch and a half in an hour. That's what they saw down in Madison yesterday. Streets were flooded, sewers overflowing, trees were knocked down. There was also a tree I saw on top of a house, and this was by Wanakee. So a lot going on. And even in towards Rockford, they had about 3 inches rapidly, plus more on top of it. There was waist-deep water in Rockford. City bus was flooded. There's pictures of 2 to 3 feet water down there. So this can happen. This is not far away from the state line. This can happen this afternoon for us. Hopefully it won't, but be prepared. Northland area, still you can get a storm underneath you, but your chances are a little bit less. Those will be much more wide scattered. Now, as we go through tomorrow, we still got a cold front moving through. It doesn't look to do too much now. It just wants to spark a few scattered, widely scattered showers and storms. Again, they still could pack a lot of heavy rainfall. This will be tomorrow afternoon. Then the front has cleared us for Sunday and Monday. We'll stay dry. We'll stay sunny. It'll actually be comfortable on Sunday. It starts to get more humid as we go into Monday.
My goodness. So much to track here.
But there is.
People definitely appreciate it. There's a lot in the mailbag here today for Rob from Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 62, half an inch, or no, 5/100ths of an inch of rain last night. Yesterday, I mowed 4 yards in the Tigerton area. Today, I need to get 2 more mowed. Now we've just got a hodgepodge in the mailbag here, going back to last hour. I use a CPAP machine. I have since 2019. I can tell a big difference when I use it compared to falling asleep on my recliner. This is National French Fry Day, so he makes note that he will have French fries with his fish fry tonight. He says the corn is really growing now, so we're going to have some corn sweat with the humid weather. It's been a mad dash for farmers to get the second crop of hay in. I can testify. They got that second crop off in a hurry here earlier this week. But I got to tell you this. The folks all around Courier Newsroom, all around the country, we occasionally would get on a video call, you know, a Zoom or whatever you use. And there's people from all over the country. And somebody from Iowa Starting Line mentioned corn sweat.
Yep.
And the folks from the East and the Southwest thought for sure they were being punked. They're like, what is corn sweat? And as the Midwesterners, you know, explained it, you could tell they were not buying this at first. They were like, this is not a real thing. Yes, corn sweat is a real thing.
Absolutely, you know? It is. It totally is.
It's, you know, that much, it gets real humid there. Roger in Stevens Point says, heavy rain soaked parts of western Portage County in the Golden Sands area west of Plover and the town of Linwood west of Point last night. Tony goes on to say, Brittany gets the Northwoods is the most important weather forecast to give rather than, you know, the southeastern part of the state.
No, I love all of you. It's just important in the woods.
Right.
You've got a lot of trees to knock down there.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see, one more from Rob. Watch out for flooding. And also, I have scenic roads that were washed out from the culverts getting washed out. Yes, that is also a thing that could happen. And we mentioned that the sun is setting just a little bit earlier now. It's coming up just a little bit later now. And, you know, it'll be fall before you know. Alicia's like, oh, yeah, there's already some people declaring Halloween. You know, the Halloween stores are going to go up. Leave it to Tony to go, yeah, I miss the darkness. Well, Tony lives up near the tundra, so 6 months of, you know, night is more in his wheelhouse than it is to us. So all
kinds
of folks.
You're saying that I'm wearing an Alaska shirt right now, you know, where they get the darkness, you know, in winter. But
or, you know, you don't get all to sleep because the sun is always
up. I was going to say, you get that far north, it's just always sunny.
Yes. And now is Parker, his Mallards game got rained out yesterday. He's got a doubleheader today. Are they going to get the doubleheader in today?
I don't think so.
Oh,
good luck. I hope so. What time is it?
I think we start at 4.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know. Maybe you'll get one in.
You're so like, yeah, no shot, Parker. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, there may be more makeup games to come. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. As always, a reminder, sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our weekday newsletter. We've got a Sunday morning newsletter as well. Today's newsletter talks about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, where Todd Alba and I will be today from 2 until 4. Come over and say hi if you're anywhere near Chippewa Falls. And also some stories there about scenic destinations in Wisconsin and public factory tours that are available as well. So much to check out in our newsletter. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Our Week in Review panel will be coming up next. We've got some court cases to talk about, birthright citizenship, of course. But there's also a new challenge to the congressional maps in Wisconsin. You'll recall it was not long ago at all. Was it last week, week before, that the state Supreme Court said it was not going to take up original jurisdiction over a challenge to the current congressional district boundaries. But now another lawsuit has been filed, and so we'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the differences between them. We'll have that coming up for you in just a short time. And one other story that caught my eye, and not in a great way, the headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Frank Vaisvilas. Sorry, Frank, if I mispronounced that. Trump dumps a panel targeting offensive names. So Wisconsin's half-breed Rapids will likely stay. That is because the Trump administration dismantled a committee tasked with removing racist names from landmarks. It was established by Interior Secretary Deb Haaland in 2021. Haaland was the nation's first Native American person to serve as Interior Secretary. The Trump administration dismantled the committee, in part saying that, you know, moves like this to remove racist names are racist themselves, because that's the kind of down-is-up world that we live in nowadays. So a lot of places have had their names changed. There were 28 different place names that changed in 2022, all had the derogatory name for women as part of their title. A lot of them were, you know, rivers, lakes, creeks throughout the part of the state. But the work hadn't been done yet. And so other racist names like Half-Breed Rapids would have been the next logical step, according to Chris Goodwill, who is Menominee and former tribal liaison for the Wisconsin DNR. But the committee never got the chance before it was dismantled by the current Interior Secretary, Doug Burgum, the former governor of North Dakota, who had been considered a friend by tribal leaders, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article. Now, Half-Breed Rapids is on the Tomahawk River, about 20 miles west of Rhinelander, near the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation, and within Ojibwa-ceded territory, which is land the U.S. took from the Ojibwa, where tribal members reserve the right to continue fishing and hunting. Now, the reason this really stuck with me is because of a hockey game. You'll recall I was following the Western Michigan hockey team on their way to a national title because my son-in-law works for the team, and that included a game against North Dakota. Now, the University of North Dakota has been the Fighting Hawks for quite a few years now. Prior to that, for several decades, they were the North Dakota Sioux. And there are folks who will tell you, well, that's part of our culture. No. No, that's just your stubborn pride, unwilling to let go of, you know, names that you've appropriated from elsewhere. It's not like Sioux was North Dakota's original team name. They were the Flicker Tails originally, named for the ground squirrels around North Dakota. But then they changed to the Sioux because, you know, racism was cool back then. You know, like cigarette smoking or chasing your secretary around the desk or, you know, redlining the maps so that black families couldn't buy a house. Good times, right? So if you wanted to name your team, you know, for the Red Men or Indian Head or Sioux or whatever, you got to do that for the longest time until finally enough folks said, maybe not a great idea. And the names were starting to get changed back or given something less racist. and then Donald Trump happened. Still a work in progress in this country. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. A local update next for some of you. And we'll continue on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Weddings are an exciting time, but they can be a lot of work and stress too. Let Belinda with the Bride's Secretary custom design your wedding invitations that will make a statement and provide secretarial services that will reduce your stress. Custom invitations and stationery for weddings or any special occasion. You don't just need stationery, you need a secretary.
For more information, call Belinda at 715-340-2999 or visit thebridesecretary.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 10th, 2025. I have your host, James, here, and we're talking to a new old friend, a new name, just a different, you know, new title, I should say, just the same old voice and fun personality. Joining us right now from UW Extension Wood County, Ben Eberlein. How you doing? How's it been?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to be here. Thank you.
I realize I haven't said your last name in a while. So I immediately, like, you can hear it in me. I caught myself. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Did I say that right? Did I get it right? Because I don't feel like I did.
Like riding a bike. You nailed it.
Thank you so much for being here, Ben. Ben is the new human development and relationships educator over at UW Extension. As Seth and I were talking about in the morning show this morning, they couldn't have found a better fit, a better person, especially with those shoes to fill. You're the right man for the job. And, you know, certainly familiar with our audience, joining us for many years. A long time with the United Way. So a great fit from going from non to nonprofit here, I think. And they got not only the right man for the job, but Ben has hit the ground running. Sent me over some notes. We got plenty to talk about. Before we dive too deep into that, Ben, how is the transition going? How are you doing things with UW?
It's been really fantastic, and I'm so lucky to have been able to work with the United Way for a number of years and develop and build relationships in the community, because that has made the transition really smooth. And, you know, I've been able to focus on, like you said, hit the ground running and getting programming going and diving into, you know, learning a little bit more about extension and my gosh, there is so much. Even working with Extension in the past and kind of knowing a bit about, you know, what things that they offer and what they do in the community, I knew just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. So it's been incredible.
You know, there's no we like to face things around here. We don't, you know, skate over stuff. Of course, this position meant a lot because of the person behind it in so many ways, and Jackie and what she meant to all of us in this community and certainly at Extension. I can only imagine. When it comes to the work, though, just touching on that and the work that she was doing and the topics that she would focus on and so many of those things, one of the things I would talk about with her all the time about was, oh, wow, that's one of those ones where there's a gray area that we do such a good job in society, and especially our nonprofits, of covering this and this, but there's those gray areas, those things that slip through the cracks that we don't always get a chance to talk about and cover. And here Jackie would have those left and right and everything. And you send over your first notes for this, and I have to say that I was brought back. I was like, oh, we're doing it again. Here we are again. We're covering areas that need so desperately to be covered, but we don't always get a chance to in society, or we don't always think about it sometimes unless it's affecting us. And here we are, where three of the main topics we're going to discuss today, I think, are those areas, and just picking that ball up and running with it, man. And it's really cool to see. And just as important as all of that, these topics. I want to start with you, Ben, if you don't mind, with RentSmart. What can you tell us about that for those especially that may not have heard of it before?
Yeah, and RentSmart is not, you know, a new program. So there's a lot of folks that probably have heard about, but for folks who don't know or aren't aware of it, RentSmart is a research-based curriculum that is really meant to help people who maybe don't have a lot of experience renting, or, you know, maybe they have some, but, you know, just to build essential skills, knowledge for not only, you know, what to expect when you're renting, how to find a rental unit that meets your needs, that is going to work for your budget. Learning what you can afford, because we know that the cost of rent isn't just the number that you see advertised, right? Like, much other stuff is in there? You move in, then you realize, oh my gosh, I got to pay for this and this and this, and the laundry machine downstairs doesn't work, so now I have to go to the laundromat, and it's $9 a load, and, you know, so there's so much involved in that, you know, from learning budgeting and spending and diving into the credit reports. And, you know, there's a whole financial aspect of how to improve your credit, because that's a huge impact on how you can, you know, what's available to your rent. And I could go on and on.
I was going to say, and you could probably spend hours and hours just on that latter topic right there about your credit score and some of that. It's something that our schools do an amazing job. They also have a ton on their plate, and there's only so much that they can cover or do. And when it comes to, again, these gray areas or these little things that we don't think as much about sometimes, even just something simple as, oh, we're renting. That's pretty basic. That's pretty simple. Or maybe you've seen a TV show or a movie where you've seen characters do it, so you feel like you understand it. I think a lot of us do. And then there's the real lifeness of it and all the things that you mentioned there, and so many things that we wouldn't think about if it wasn't for a program like this. I really would recommend almost any young person that is getting ready to get out on their own or something like that, something like this. I would also recommend it to landlords and to people that are thinking of renting out, or even people that are looking at B&B work or something. My grandfather was a landlord. He was an attorney, and he was a landlord on the side. And I miss him, and I love my grandfather a lot. I don't think he was a great landlord. I don't think he was very good at it. I think he was kind of mean, I think, in some ways, and everything. And I think that it'd be a great idea for them as well to learn more about the other side of this and what it is to be a tenant and what's asked of tenants in this day and age, as much as people who want to rent and want to get out there, especially first-time people. But there's so many things that you guys are going to be able to cover here that are not thought about oftentimes, especially to people looking at renting for the first time. There's so much on your plate, and there's so many things that, and exciting things that take your attention. Where am I going to put the couch? You know, where am I going to put the video game system or any of these things? I'm so old.
You're old. I'm about to say pivot.
You're right.
That's going to date me.
But man, a security deposit. I mean, that's one of those things. I'm just thinking, as somebody, my whole background was renting. My parents rented up until we moved out here and they finally had their first home. But in my childhood and up until I was out of the house, even we were renting. So I had quite a bit of familiarity with renting and still had no idea once I first rented my first apartment, a security deposit and some of those things. This program could really help people, set them up to succeed.
Well, especially with the supply of housing these days. I mean, over the last few years, the market has been a real challenge for most people. And so I think the natural solution there is, well, you know, buying a house right now, not feasible. So renting makes a lot of sense. But how many times, you know, have you done something you're like, man, I wish I would have known before, you know? So I think that's where this class, it's really fantastic. It covers so many of the bases of, you know, what it, things that you wouldn't think of that you'd need when you're renting. Like I said, you know, finding a place. Do you know what? What's your first instinct for where to find a place these days?
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know that 85% of rural fire departments in Wisconsin operate entirely with volunteers? That's a problem. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. A problem revealed in a recent statewide survey done by the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. James Small is the Emergency Medical Services Outreach Program Manager that took a look at the numbers, and he said, it's not just the lack of people in rural communities, it's flat-out expense.
It used to be you could buy a new fire engine for $400,000, maybe up to $500,000, let's say like 10 years ago. That same vehicle today is pushing $1 million or more. And then on top of that, getting the people in place to staff those apparatus is yet another challenge. Because I think what we've seen with our communities is that a lot of people work outside the communities that they live in, where a few decades ago there was manufacturers and things like that all over the place that were in the communities and allowed people to leave and go to fires and stuff like that. But when that person's working half an hour or an hour outside the community, that's not realistic anymore.
James Small is the EMS Outreach Program Manager with the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. The survey they conducted earlier this year was statewide and got contributions from 418 fire chiefs. That represented about 52% of departments statewide. One issue they noted, over 80% of firefighters receive little or no monetary compensation.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And since July is National Ice Cream Month, a brand new tool to connect you with ice cream right here in the state, courtesy of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. They've got about 20 unique ice cream experiences that you can follow on the brand new Ice Cream Trail. Find it at GatherWisconsin.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Our high in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms. We're going to drop into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered thunderstorms in the morning. Some clearing in the afternoon with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Albaugh.
Next time, Todd continues live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, highlighting some great public educators and talking with filmmaker B.J. Hollers about his new documentary on the amazing game Coup. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
The Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday. They start a three-game series at home against the Washington Nationals this evening. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several civic media stations today, tomorrow afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and then it's time for the All-Star break. But before that time, there is this series, and if you would like to win four great tickets to the Sunday afternoon Brewer game against the Washington Nationals, well, then text the keyword BALL, B-A-L-L, using the Civic Media app. You will be in the running for those tickets. There will be a rally at the state capitol today, put on by Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, Wisconsin Public Education Network, Main Street Alliance, and others. Basically all about the state and federal budgets that were passed last week and how both of them continue harm to many Wisconsinites by benefiting the wealthy in the form of tax cuts and not doing nearly enough for things like the child care crisis and K through 12 education. There will be a news conference there at 9:30 with several speakers, including Corrine Hendrickson, who's talked to the show plenty of times on child care, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and many more. So again, that's at the state capitol over on the State Street steps. And then there will be some letters delivered to elected leaders as well. So we may talk more about the federal budget that was passed and the coverage of it with our panel, Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, and Jim Santel. But I do want to take a moment to talk about coverage of the Texas floods. Jennifer, let's start with you. It's the subject of your latest column in Distinct Chatter that you can get on Substack, and what you had to say about the coverage of the tragedy in Texas so far.
Well, I'm very impressed with the coverage. I think that local Texas media in particular, TV and print, digital, have all done an excellent job, not just telling the story about the tragedy, and it is a tragedy. I mean, it's just a nightmare. I can't even imagine. But they are also very aggressively holding officials to account. There have been numerous news conferences that have been held on live TV where reporters have really pressed these officials to say, why didn't you do X, Y, and Z? And that's really impressive stuff. And I would like to hope that that influences some of the coverage we see today in Texas when the pool travels with Trump from D.C. And then we'll have the opportunity to ask a lot of those questions, because these local TV reporters have really been pushing for answers in a way that we do not see in our national media frequently, the ones covering Trump.
Well, that takes us to the national media, Mark. And Chuck Todd, who is doing Chuck Todd things, who posted and was completely roasted, I would dare say annihilated on social media for this post. The tragedy in Texas could have been avoided if both sides stopped playing politics and better prepared our communities for extreme weather disasters. I examine how the political discourse has become a virus. If we sounded an alarm for both sides-ism, we'd go deaf blaring this one, Mark.
Yeah, and when you actually look at the facts, you know, it's These extreme weather disasters, which we're seeing more and more of, you know, are happening because we're not taking climate change seriously. Well, what side is taking climate change seriously and what side is not? I mean, this is not like just partisan bickering. This is one side deciding to eliminate all these programs, you know, for clean energy and, you know, and you know, double down on fossil fuels because, you know, those are the donors that make the money. And the other side trying to actually deal with a climate crisis. But no, it's both sides are doing this and that. Plus, also, I mean, it's clear now that local Republican officials, I mean, it's not because they were Republicans, because they're local officials who decided not to spend money on an early warning system because it cost too much. So, you know, that's what they decided. They made a calculated decision. This was not just a matter of, well, we didn't know better. They discussed it. They decided not to spend the money to protect people because it cost too much money. And so, you know, zero in on that. Don't do this kind of vague kind of, oh, partisan bickering. You know, that doesn't get us anywhere. And then it's Chuck Todd acting as if he's above it all instead of actually zeroing in on whose fault it is.
It's marketing. It's his marketing shtick now, is to try to, you know, rise above it all. But that means there's times when, again, both sides aren't 50-50. And if you're afraid to call it so, I mean, what good is your marketing position? We have spoken already this morning about birthright citizenship. But Jim, as a former U.S. attorney, I'd like to, your explanation will probably sound better than mine as far as why the case is now a class action case, because I think to the layperson, they heard that the U.S. Supreme Court made a ruling, and in their mind, especially the way some media, I think, portrayed it, was that President Trump can go ahead and try to ignore the Constitution in terms of birthright citizenship. That's not actually what the Supreme Court said, and a federal district judge this week took it to that next level, making it a class action suit. Why?
I think it's fascinating as a legal matter, fascinating simply as an American news item, too. We recall that when the Supreme Court decided not to decide on birthright citizenship, it is still unresolved, this very clear issue. They said that national injunctions can no longer happen. One judge cannot impose her or his will on the entire nation. Okay, we can argue about that. And there may be times when it's appropriate, maybe at times when it's not appropriate. What they did also say, in addition to staying this order until July 27, tick-tock right now here in America, they also said, but you've got other remedies here. You can do a class action, so basically identifying large groups of people who have commonality in their facts, commonality in the law, and bring them together. And by certifying that class, you may be able to do the same thing. Well, within moments of the Supreme Court's issuing that decision, sure enough, class actions get filed, the lawsuits anyway. And this particular judge in New Hampshire says, okay, that's fine. I can do that. And it's arguably brilliant. What he says is, I am now going to certify a class of virtually everybody who is affected by the president's executive order way back on January 20th. And that includes in particular the babies of people, of women and men, obviously born since the time of the executive order. He certifies the class and says, all of you who otherwise would be citizens today, I am certifying your class. And as to that class, I am now imposing a national injunction. And so it is fascinating. The judge says, you told me I can do this. I've done it. I preserved America once again. It's going up to the First Circuit Court of Appeals, may end up before the Supreme Court again. But it just underscores once again, why doesn't the Supreme Court simply say what we all know, which is the 14th Amendment grants you a right for citizenship if you're born here. That's been the law for 100 years. Say that, Chief Justice Roberts.
How is this still a thing? Exactly. Right. Jennifer, you just heard the explanation of a former U.S. attorney. And as you know, in this era of sound bites, I mean, this is a serious challenge to reporters, whatever the level of experience, to convey all of these nuances of the legal system. And I'm not saying that you or I have the correct answer to it, but for the love of all things holy, maybe run your copy by somebody with some legal experience before you pop off on this subject.
Oh, Pat, I don't know. I think you might be asking too much there.
I do think a lot of these stories are very complicated, but they also can be boiled down very simply. And what somewhere in the press gets stuck somewhere in the middle, right? They try to tell a story without going too far so they don't offend their corporate owners and get on the wrong side of Trump. But then, you know, so they never land in a place where they just say what actually happened. And I find that particularly frustrating.
Do you use the phrase, maybe you do it a different way, but I've often heard the phrase said to reporters, tell it to your mom. In other words, instead of writing all the legalese and the jargon, you know, if you got on the phone with your mom, what would you say? You wouldn't say, no offense, Jim, you wouldn't say everything that you said for 90 seconds there. You'd say the Supreme Court did this. And it just, I don't know if you have a similar way that you express that to beginning journalists.
I think that is an excellent lesson. And that is, in fact, how people are taught about journalism. Tell me what you're trying to tell me. Tell it to me in one sentence. You know, what is the story here? Get to the nut of the story. Okay, that's where we're going with this story. And in fact, I think we try too hard not to do that because of all these other sensitivities that are now in the atmosphere.
Yeah. And Mark, you were a front page editor for the Chicago Tribune. I mean, you know how you have to work so hard to make it concise, not just the headline, but the lead.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of journalists are writing for other journalists, or they're writing for their sources. And that becomes a real problem. You know, that they're writing defensively, and politicians want them to write defensively. That's why you get so many, criticism of the news media by politicians who are being covered. You know, they'll have their press person call after every story and explain to them why it's wrong. You know, there's this pressure campaign, and not just by Republicans. When I was a Metro editor at the Tribune in Chicago, you know, Rahm Emanuel was all over us all the time, you know, and if in effect, what he was doing was working the refs. He was trying to get us to, trying to intimidate us so that we would, say other things.
You think twice.
Softer things next time. Yeah. And so, yes, I mean, exactly. Talk to your mom. You're not talking to Rahm Emanuel. You're not talking to some other journalist who's a competitor. You're not trying to impress anyone. You're just trying to tell your mom what happened. Mm-hmm.
Now, we've mentioned that Jennifer's latest newsletter for Indistinct Chatter is on the Texas floods. Your latest, Stop the Presses, the headline is Jake Tapper Believes in Jake Tapperism, which is probably one of the most honest headlines I've seen in the longest time of trying to explain the way that he has covered certain things like a dog with a bone that they just will not let go of. And that's as Jake Tapper as it gets.
Well, my contention is that he's really a journalistic windsock. You know, it's not that he's a right winger or a left winger or anything like that. I mean, he was actually quite hard on Trump in the early days, but now that Trump is an established, you know, he's here for the second time as president. You know, I think Tapper's decided to kind of play to that audience, and he's decided idiotically to make a big deal about a former president who's no longer really a factor in American politics, rather than looking at, you know, trying to report on the 5-alarm fire that's happening next door. And he's just a careerist. He's just trying to position himself for maximum benefit to Jake Tapper.
Well, the fact that he's got a history that stretches back to, you know, the Monica Lewinsky scandal. I mean, he's got a record. He's got a style, which... Right. Again, works in certain circles, but I also feel like somebody like you needs to, point out the way that operates. So that's in Stop the Presses. Get it at stopthepresses.news or couriernewsroom.com. And then last but not least, Jim's got this program on the weekends, Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings. I'm sure you're going to get into a couple of the cases we've already talked about. Any that we missed that you want to promote quickly for tomorrow's show?
One of the things we're also going to talk about is Pam Bondi. Yes, indeed, she's our attorney general, saying some very interesting things about how assistant United States attorneys and department lawyers should act, what the principles, the standards are, changing America by virtue of what you're telling your lawyer's staff to do. We serve, the Department of Justice serves America, does not serve Pam Bondi, does not serve the president. That has changed in the past 5 months. More of that, again, coming up on Saturday.
I can't believe we're not all taking loyalty oaths already. I mean, God knows that's the expectation. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around here with the panel. And then in our next hour, we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley, who's out in Washington, D.C. And we will get sports from Mike Clemens as well. What has happened with the Brewers? Where did this team come from? We're loving this. We'll ask Mike about that next after the 8 o'clock news here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The day you become one with your partner is truly a special day for every couple. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters want to add to your memories with their July 12th Renew Your Vows event. Bring your significant other as historic Winter Field is turned into the largest wedding in Wisconsin Rapids. Explore the wedding show displays throughout the concourse, bachelor, bachelorette party games, and a post-game vow renewal ceremony on home plate. Renew your vows with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, July 12th at 6:35 p.m. at historic Winter Field.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
What's your first instinct for where to find a place these days? Go to online? Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scams are insane these days. It's crazy, and they're getting worse and worse in terms of how realistic and believable. And it's not just grandma and grandpa who click on the wrong thing these days. Literally anybody can very easily lose a lot of money because of a housing scam. And just to try and take some of the stigma away from that, because it is so common. And but anyway, so that's just, one thing that, that I think most people, might not think of when, When you when you're thinking, I just do a Google search or I do a Facebook, I find it.
I think too, to your point on that, it's not one of those things that we always, when we think of, we got to worry about scams, it's not something that we think about right away, scams with this industry. So that's another great note about that. If people are interested in taking the RentSmart class, is there a certain time frame that it's existing in or anything like that?
Hey, thanks. Yeah. So first of all, it's free. So
right on. Yeah, got to mention that. Yeah.
We are offering so RentSmart in person. If you'd want to knock it out and get that done in a one afternoon, you can take a look at our. We have a schedule of this monthly through November that we'll be offering that both in Wisconsin Rapids and in Marshfield at the public libraries, and that that's happening that the last. So for Marshfield, it's the last Wednesday of the month. And for Wisconsin Rapids, it's the last Friday of the month. Like I said, the full schedule, and you can register. All that's online at the Extension website. And I did also want to just come back. I think it was super insightful the way you mentioned, this isn't just for renters, but landlords too.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a RentSmart for landlords that we offer as well. So I don't any currently necessarily in the pipeline, but I just want to mention that. So insightful. Yeah. That's part of why I love talking to you.
It's a great program, and it's only going to be stronger getting both sides of these kind of things and being able to cover that, help both sides with these this kind of information. And I think that the majority of people out there that are in that industry, whether renting and being landlords and stuff, you got a lot of good ones out there. And sometimes it's just a matter of knowing some of this information or having somebody that can even hear you out on something that you're not sure of. So a program like that, a class like this, is going to be very helpful for a lot of people. Again, we'll give you the information of how you can find out more about it before we wrap up. Planning ahead, I wanted to talk about this 7-session research-based program that you're involved with, Ben.
And this is something that I'm still learning so much because planning ahead is all about kind of planning for end of life and making sure that you have your wishes for, even after you're gone and making sure things are, go the way that you want them to and the whole everything involved in that. And I don't know about you, but when I think of that kind of thing, I'm like, I have a will. I'm good. Right. Wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's so much that's involved with, all the advanced directives and, when you want things done a certain way after you're gone, you can't just have that. Like you mentioned, in the movies and TV, you see somebody just scratches something on a piece of paper and it's like, well, this is their last will and testament. Well,
yeah.
One, no, not how it works.
No, no.
But there's so much else that legally it's all legal processes that you have to follow. And once you're gone, you can't tell people what you want. So,
and so much of this, one of the things that we encourage when it comes to making sure that you have your will filled out, you have your estate planning and so many of these things done, is so that you can do it and then it's done and you don't have to worry about it anymore and you can move on and you can get that uncomfortable topic out of the way and all those things. But it only works if you do it right, if you get it done right. And so many people, it's understandable because of TV, movies, and so many of these things. And I'm not blaming them. It's a pretty movie can only be so long. Even nowadays with 3-hour movies, if you had them as long, if you actually went through this process in a movie, it would take days. So you'd be watching that movie. You'd still be watching that movie probably. When it comes to real life, it's understandable that not everybody knows all these things. And especially, we've spent so many decades. Think about how many decades we've been doing this thing called life and doing this here in America. And we the whole time, we've been uncomfortable with death. We're very uncomfortable talking about this. There are certain topics that it's amazing to think of that we've talked about or had TV shows or movies about or whatever. And yet this one, we just don't really, we're not that comfortable with. We're just now in recent years, maybe even in the recent last decade, getting to a more comfortable place. And we're still uncomfortable talking about it. And it's understandable. I don't say I'm uncomfortable talking about it. I'm not any different than anybody else out there. But I face it and I talk about it because of the importance of it, and in part because I'm spoiled, I get to talk with you people like Ben and our people at UW, and this topic has been brought up a lot in these conversations. I know that for my mom and dad, the relief in their faces when they got all of this kind of all these checked off, all these boxes, I can't express to you, and especially for my mom and dad, who the majority of my life I've seen them stressed and tense. And in retirement, I was really hoping that they wouldn't experience as much of that stuff. And they have from time to time. But with this one, it was relief. There is a relief involved with knowing that these things are taken care of, that your legacy is taken care of, that your children, your the people you care about, maybe your significant other, are taken care of. And I don't mean necessarily on what they're going to get from the will or something like that. The peace of mind of knowing that you they did right by you and you did right by them. The idea that, okay, this is it for me. This is the last thing I'm going to really be doing or involved with. And the heaviness of that being done right and knowing that those boxes are checked.
Yeah, and to that point too, I think of back to my childhood, and my grandfather's gone too now, but you know, I can't count the number of times where I heard him say something like, "Ah, just put me in a pine box and throw me out," you know.
Yep.
And they, you know, I think the mindset is, you know, one, yeah, taboo, absolutely, but also you don't want to be a burden, and you don't want to have to, you know, but. On the other hand, if you don't get this stuff taken care of ahead of time, that you're creating more of a burden for your loved ones.
That is so much more a burden. And as uncomfortable as it can be sometimes to talk about it, much like I think a dark alley, once you get in it, it's actually not as dark as it looked like from the outside.
Right.
Once you get talking about this topic, I think the ball starts rolling. You get through things relatively.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Protesters and border agents clashed during immigration raids at two Southern California pot farms. Melissa Tapiz's relatives work at one of them.
My cousin, my sister, my brother are in there. They took my brother. They took his phone away.
A whistleblower accuses Justice Department officials of retaliation after she was fired Monday. Patty Hartman tells CBS News.
It's hard to understand why or how it's okay to remove people from their job for doing their job.
CBS News has learned the State Department will cut staff by 15% as part of plans to slash the federal workforce. President Trump heads to Central Texas today to assess the damage from last Friday's deadly flooding. Kerrville Police Sergeant Jonathan Lamb.
I think that everyone who lives here knows somebody who has been affected.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.